You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's good, everybody? It's a Monday episode of Locked On Vols. Welcome into it, Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com and tell them Locked On Vols sent you. So today, a lot of Tennessee and Omaha talk. The Volunteers fall 6-0 to Virginia in Game 1 of the College World Series season on the brink Tuesday at 2 o'clock, and we'll get you more info on its opponent here later on. But lots to unravel here from Tennessee's only its third defeat via the shutout all season long. So we'll take a look at that here in segment number one. In segment number two, Ben McKee, VolQuest.com, will check in and give us his thoughts on Tennessee's defeat of Virginia. He had a front row seat to that action in Omaha, live from Omaha, and so we'll get his thoughts in segment number two. And in segment number three, it was a big recruiting weekend for Tennessee. 7 official visitors. Who was on campus? What did they say? We'll get to that in segment number three. But all that coming up here on a Monday show. All right, so let's get to it. This is a Monday Locked On Vols. So, Tennessee falls 6-0. The Volunteers now 50-17 on the year. Virginia 36-25. The Volunteers the number 3 national seed. Virginia the number 8 national seed. Story of the game, well, none other than Andrew Abbott. He was incredible. 6 innings on the bump for Virginia, giving up 5 hits, no runs, 10 strikeouts, 2 walks. He threw 104 pitches, he faced 25 batters, and he lowered that ERA down to 2.87. 10 strikeouts to 2 walks. Absolutely incredible. And he's a big reason why Tennessee stranded so many runners on base. Other story of the game, I brought it up right there. Tennessee stranded runners on base. And a lot of times in scoring position, the Volunteers 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. With 2 outs, Tennessee was only 1-for-8 at the plate. Tennessee left 8 runners on base during the game. Only the 3rd shutout of the season for Tennessee. The last time that happened was against Vanderbilt back on April the 16th. So, it was kind of hard to swallow what happened in Omaha on Sunday afternoon, because Tennessee's riding this wave of momentum. The fan base is energized like you've never seen it before for this baseball team. Tony Vitello is the most popular man on, you know, campus in Tennessee right now. You're getting national significant attention. And then Tennessee falls via the shutout. And that's hard to take, because from a national perspective, for people that haven't really watched Tennessee a lot this year, might have said, well, it's kind of the typical baseball team now in 2021. Home runs, strikeouts, boom or bust. Well, Tennessee's not really that. And I saw someone that's part of a media affiliate in Nashville tweet out during the game, you know, this has been Tennessee all year, boom or bust. Well, not really. If you watch Tennessee baseball, you know that Tennessee just puts runners base to base. Yes, are home runs a big part of their game? Absolutely. Was that lacking on Sunday? Absolutely. But Tennessee just kind of came out and just didn't have the bats going. You only had one player that finished with multiple hits on the day. That was Pete Durkay. Not a great showing overall for the Volunteers in this one. You had Max Ferguson, Jake Rucker, Drew Gilbert, and Connor Pavloni tally hits. Pete Durkay had 2 hits, and that's all she wrote. Whereas you had, you know, the leadoff man for Virginia, I'm blanking on his name right now, had 3 hits. Max Coltier had 2 hits for Virginia. You had Logan Michaels had a fantastic game. He had 3 hits. Chris Newell had 2 hits. You had multiple players for Virginia up and down that lineup that had multiple hit games, and Tennessee just kind of was one of those days. And Chad Dallas, overall, for the most part, he had a bad 7th inning. He really did. He went through 6 innings in a 3rd. He gave up 4 earned runs. For the most part, I thought Chad Dallas looked good. He got into some trouble, gave up a run there in the 3rd inning, but then got out of trouble, and then put zeros up through innings 1 through 6 outside of that 3rd. But then you got into the 7th, and that's when that all went downhill. Sean Hundley came in. He wasn't fantastic. He only went 2/3 of an inning, gave up a run off 3 hits. Redmond Walsh came in, and then Camden Sewell closed things out by giving up a run. But this just wasn't Tennessee's day. So what does that mean now moving forward? Well, at the time of this recording of the podcast, and you guys know me, I have early morning radio, so I do apologize, but Tennessee will play the loser of Texas and Mississippi State. Season on the line coming up on Tuesday. That will be game number seven. That will be game seven in this College World Series. So Tennessee needs to win to stay alive. How this College World Series is set up, if you're unfamiliar, it's eight teams split into two brackets. Four teams on this side, four teams on that side. Much like regional play, you need to win your bracket to advance. It's double elimination. So Tennessee has already lost a game. The Volunteers will need to continue to win and win and win to move on and win in that bracket. Now, if you do win that four-team bracket, you move on and you play the winner of the other four-team bracket in the best of a three-game set. So you're combining the regionals and super regionals top situations here in Omaha in the College World Series. But Tennessee is down to its final hope. Tuesday at 2 o'clock, the game is on the line. It is, again, I mentioned, only the third shutout this season for the Volunteers. The third shutout in, what, 67 games? Tennessee's a good baseball team, but everybody in Omaha right now is a good baseball team. And, you know, that's why I love baseball so much, because you can run into just one buzzsaw on the mound, and your whole complexion, your whole demeanor at the plate, your whole discipline and how you approach in that bat can change because somebody's so dominant on the mound, and that was Andrew Abbott. Andrew Abbott was fantastic for Virginia. And a lot of people were saying, well, look at Virginia's record, 36-25. That's not really an Omaha-type record to get you to the College World Series. Well, just like LSU, it's about getting hot at the right time. And the Cavaliers have gotten hot at the right time. And of course, if you watch the television broadcast, you know about, you know, their coach and the pedigree of Virginia and how many times it's been to Omaha. It's been there. It's done that. You get all that. But every year is a different team. Every year is a new situation. And for the most part, Virginia played about 500 ball in conference play this year. But got hot at the right time, advanced on, and just got an incredible performance on the mound. And now Virginia's advancing on. Do I expect Tennessee to get shut out on Tuesday? Absolutely not. Did I expect that to happen on Sunday? Nope. But that's baseball. And it's unfortunate, but it happens. What gives me confidence about this Tennessee team, though Texas is still in this side of the bracket, this Tennessee team can hit with anybody. This Tennessee can hit with anybody on the mound. This Tennessee can keep run for run against anybody in the country. So it was a bad day. It was a really, really bad game for Tennessee on Sunday. But it's not over. You'll come back up on Tuesday, and you will play with the season on the line. You win, you continue on. And, you know, who knows? If Tennessee can string together a couple more wins, you'll win this out of the bracket, and then it starts over. So that's kind of the situation now. It's unfortunate. I watched the entire game. I had to go and do a recording thing later on Sunday evening, but I listened to the rest of it in the car. It was unfortunate. I get that. But Tennessee is not done yet, so we'll move on, and it will play the loser of Mississippi State, who Tennessee has already pounded one time this year, but again, is a very good team, and Texas, and we'll have to see exactly which team that will be. Now, the winner of that game will move on and play the loser of the other game. The loser of that game will be done, and you just hope that's not the Tennessee Volunteers. So we'll have more info on that, and of course, we'll recap really that game on our next podcast. But Ben McKee will come onto the podcast here in segment number two. He is at Omaha right now. He will tell us his thoughts on the game moving forward. But first, let me remind you guys about Bet Online. It's the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. We are nearing the All-Star break. You can track all that action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Now, I don't want you to sit on the sidelines anymore. I want you to put that sports knowledge to use. Put some coin in your pocket. Head on over to the website or use that mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Wasn't Devin Booker incredible yesterday? Aren't the Phoenix Suns just the class of the NBA right now? What a story going through this NBA playoffs. I'm pretty sure every team remaining in the NBA playoffs right now could win the NBA Finals. Have fun with it. Put your sports knowledge to use and put some coin in your pocket with BetOnline. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. Ben McKeon here from BallQuest.com does a fantastic job and has all season long covering this Tennessee baseball team and is in Omaha covering Tennessee and was right up there to see Tennessee fall 6-0 to Virginia in the Omaha opener. Ben, appreciate you joining the show, man. We'll keep it short and sweet, but the story of the game, it was Andrew Abbott and Tennessee's inefficiency at the plate with runners in scoring position.
Absolutely. And I thought it was more, you know, Tennessee's offense that was Tennessee's demise. Virginia did score 4 runs there in the 7th inning to break the game open, make it 5-0, and later scored another run, I believe, in the top of the 9th to make it 6-0. And I think the score is a little bit deceiving in the sense that it wasn't like a blowout, in my opinion. Virginia was the better team in Omaha on Sunday, but it was a close game for 6 innings. Virginia jumped out to an early 1-0 lead on the solo home run. Chad Dallas hung a curveball, but for 6 innings, it was 1-0. And to me, it spiraled out of control there in the 7th for Tennessee, because they had wasted so many opportunities over the first 6 innings. 3 of the first 6 innings, Tennessee had no outs and at least 2 runners on base, or however you want to look at it, 2 runners on base with no outs, and they did not score at any time while having those opportunities. So I thought that really led to, you know, the momentum shifting, and that eventually led to Tennessee struggling there in the 7th inning to get out, and Virginia ended up scoring 4 runs in that inning.
Ben, Tennessee, the season is on the line on Tuesday. We'll play either Texas or Mississippi State. What was the mood like for Tony Vitello postgame for some of those players? Because as we all know, you know, the Tennessee baseball team, it can bounce back in a hurry, but it's going to have to on Tuesday, or this run, this magical season, will come to an end.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously was not a happy camper. He did not throw his team under the bus. I know there was a lot of talk on social media and the message boards about the moment being too big for Tennessee, or maybe Tennessee not playing as hard as it has all season. I don't think that could be any further from the truth. Poor performance does not mean that they are they're playing without effort. It looks like it when you're playing poorly. It definitely looks like you're not playing with the requisite amount of intensity. But that wasn't Tennessee's issue. Tennessee just did not play good baseball. There's also talk about TD Ameritrade and Tennessee no longer being in Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And I think that's a silly simpleton take as well. It didn't matter what ballpark Tennessee was playing in on Sunday. They could have played in a little league ballpark with 220-foot fences, and Tennessee still loses that game. They could barely get the ball out of the infield. So there were some silly talking points on social media, in my opinion. Tennessee just didn't play well. They didn't execute. And in the words of Tony Vitello, he pretty much said those same things, that he didn't think effort or intensity was the issue. But in the baseball sense, he didn't think that they were aggressive enough in terms of understanding the scouting report, understanding that Andrew Abbott likes to throw a fastball up in the zone, has really tight spin rate, and Tennessee did not make adjustments in that manner as they have done all season. So obviously he was not a happy camper, but as Tony Vitello tends to be, he was upbeat. Connor Pavloni was upbeat as well, and was confident that Tennessee would make adjustments, that Tennessee would come back to the ballpark on Tuesday and have a different outcome.
So it's Texas or Mississippi State. At the time that we're doing this hit right now, that game is ongoing. It's scoreless in the 3rd, but Tennessee has seen Mississippi State in Hoover. Pretty good day for the Volunteers. Now it's a different stage. You're in Omaha now. That's obviously a good ball club. Texas, we know, is a good ball club. You know, pick your poison here. Really, to touch on Texas a little bit, if you don't care, if Tennessee squares off against the Longhorns, what do you know about that team, and what does Tennessee need to watch out for?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, because Tennessee lost its first game, Tennessee's going to have to win 4 games in a row to make it out of the loser's bracket if they want to make it to the championship series. And part of winning 4 games in a row is having to beat the person who comes out of the winner's bracket. You're going to have to beat them twice. So I do think Texas is the most difficult out of the 3 between Virginia, Mississippi State, and Texas. So, you know, it's kind of a funky conversation of, would you rather avoid them on Tuesday, the better team of Mississippi State and Texas, in my opinion. Would you rather avoid them on Tuesday because Mississippi State's probably a better matchup, or would you rather go ahead and face Texas now and have to maybe beat them once instead of twice down the road? I take the route of wanting to play easy isn't the correct term, but for lack of a better term, the easier matchup or the lesser of the two teams, in my opinion, is Mississippi State. So if I'm Tennessee, I would rather see Mississippi State on Tuesday. And then if you do have to beat Texas twice later on down the road, then you worry about that later, because if you don't win on Tuesday, later on down the road isn't going to matter, because yeah, your road is going to come to a dead end. So I find that an interesting talking point, an interesting conversation. But to answer your question, either team is going to be tough at this point of the year. Texas has a really strong pitching staff, probably has the most depth of any pitching staff in Omaha. I think they do have a more complete team than Mississippi State. I realize that Mississippi State is beating Texas as we speak. So I'm sure as sports tend to play out, the opposite of what I'm saying will take place. But I just haven't been very high on Mississippi State this year. I think they're a good team. I think they're inconsistent, and I don't necessarily trust them. So very talented team, more than capable of beating Tennessee. But I do think Texas is the better of the two, and I think it'd be better for Tennessee to play Mississippi State on Tuesday with its season on the line.
Well, you mentioned there, the season is on the line. It'll be Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern time, either Texas or Mississippi State. This fan base has rallied behind this team and Tony Vitello. It's been a whole lot of fun. And now Tennessee, it's got to win four straight to advance onto the College World Series finals, but certainly capable of doing that. Ben, last thing, you can make it short and brief. Should we expect Blade Tidwell, just like in the regionals and just like in the Super, should we expect Blade Tidwell to get the ball in game two?
Yes, I would expect to see Blade Tidwell. Tony Vitello was asked post game, and he was kind of non-committal. But yeah, he did admit that Blade Tidwell has been prepared to start on Tuesday, and that he and the coaching staff, a.k.a. Frank Anderson, would get together at practice or during the workout on Monday morning and have a conversation about whether or not they want to go that route. But to me, that was just trying not to tip his hand. I fully expect to see Blade Tidwell.
Ben, you are doing a great job covering this team. Where can our listeners here on Locked On Vols follow your work during the games, pregame, and postgame?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at BenMcKee14. You can also follow me on the Mighty Generals Quarters over there on VolQuest. I have plenty of updates and conversation pregame, throughout the game, and postgame. So give me a follow on Twitter, and you can also check out the work over on VolQuest at the Generals Quarters.
A big thanks to Ben McKee for taking the time to chat with us on Tennessee's Game 1 loss in Omaha, the College World Series, 6-0 to Virginia. While I've been on the rest of the time Tennessee is in Omaha to recap and review what's going on with Tennessee in the College World Series. We'll talk Tennessee football recruiting coming up here in segment number 3, but first, Built Bar, 9 delicious flavor, coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, and it's just so much. There's literally something for everybody. And if you're a little confused on which one you want to try, just order a couple mix box. Get two of each flavor and decide which one is the best for you. The best thing about Built Bar, if you're that health-conscious guy or gal looking to lose or maintain weight, Built Bar is for you. Some of these flavors have up to 18 grams of protein, have only 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Most of the Built Bars have only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. It's literally that perfect snack when you're leaving the gym, when it's between supper and lunch, when it's that mid-afternoon snack. You want something, but you want it to mean something. You want it to work with your body and give you some of the stuff you need without just going to the vending machine, getting those chips, getting those pretzels, something bad for you. Built Bar is for you. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCK15, 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. Father's Day, it's in the rearview mirror now, but you can still get Dad a box of Built Bar. BuiltBar.com, Locked On 15 for 15% off, again, at BuiltBar.com. And, you know, our presenting sponsor of today's episode is Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can get the car parts for your truck, your vehicle at rockauto.com for less price. Hi, I'm Eric Kane here for rockauto.com. Family owned and operating business serving customers online for 20 years. RockAuto.com, the prices are always reliably low for every customer. You have everything you could possibly need with RockAuto.com. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even the new carpets. Whatever you need, RockAuto.com has it. So go explore. It's the easy to navigate through their website and today, and you can find the solution for all of your auto part needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, your truck. You can write "Locked On" in the "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. So everything's increasing with numbers and makes and models. It's so impossible for your local chain parts to even keep up. But with this online family-owned and operated business, they are on top of it. Why endure the pointless and intimidating sometimes questioning of that person over the counter? You can do it yourself. You are in control, and you have people on the other end of the website that you can trust. Check the resume. Check the reviews. Everything is great at rockauto.com. Again, write "Locked On" and "How'd you hear about us" box so they know the Locked On Vault sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. All right, we got a final segment here of a Monday Locked On Vols, recapping primarily Tennessee's loss to Virginia in Game 1 of the College World Series, Omaha, here in 2021. But Tennessee not done yet. We'll play again on Tuesday. Must win to stay alive. And, of course, we will bring you all of that post-game coverage to our Wednesday episode of Locked On Vols. Here in Segment 3, I do want to discuss some Tennessee recruiting. We know about the month of June. It has been wild. It has been fast. Sometimes two camps per week, a lot of unofficial visitors, and a lot of official visitors have been on campus for the University of Tennessee this weekend. And a couple that I had a chance to catch up with on Sunday, and I want to bring you some of those comments, some of my observations. And we'll go ahead and start talking first off with former Kansas Jayhawk Caron Prunty. He is one of the top available players left in the transfer portal. He was a former two-star. He's from Virginia, but did play in 2020 with Kansas. He was a freshman All-American from 24/7 Sports. He was an honorable mention All-Big 12 player. He had quite the freshman campaign, all right? He never allowed a touchdown thrown on him all year long. He allowed only 38.5% of passes to be completed against him. He had 26 tackles. He had 10 pass breakups. He had a fumble and he had a fumble recovery, or forced fumble, excuse me, and an interception on the season. So Tennessee needing cornerbacks, Prunty would be a big addition, and he would be eligible to play immediately this fall. And so that's why Tennessee and Willie Martinez have kind of put the full court press on him this week and had a chance to catch up with him. It is between Tennessee and South Carolina. South Carolina, he visited last weekend. Of course, was in Knoxville this weekend. He likes the coaches, the atmosphere. He said he can see the vision and what Tennessee's trying to do. And he thinks Tennessee is on the right path. Says that he wants a family-oriented program. He said that Tennessee is a family-oriented program and he wants playing time. There's obviously an opportunity here for playing time. So he will decide between Tennessee and South Carolina. Probably, he said next week, to be completely frank, not really sure if he meant this week as in next week or next week as in next week. It's going to be sooner rather than later because he's going to try to get in some summer school and to get into workouts and stuff with a team, whether it be here or South Carolina. But nonetheless, Prunty, Caron Prunty, former Kansas Jayhawk, is in good standing with Tennessee, and he will choose between the Gamecocks or the Volunteers here pretty shortly. Another big one, Addison Nichols. So he came into Tennessee. He was very impressed with what was going on here at Tennessee. Had a whole lot of fun in his photo shoot. 6'5", 305-pound lineman from Greater Atlanta Christian in Norcross, Georgia. And he's got a lot of connections to Tennessee. Some family went to Tennessee. His grandparents live in Tennessee. He is big on Tennessee's roster. He had a good visit here in Knoxville over the weekend. We'll stay on the offensive line train. Ryan Brubaker, a very athletic four-star Offensive tackle, but can play guard. He can snap the ball if necessary. He is from Pennsylvania. Very well spoken. Has talked to me numerous times, several times about the Tennessee Volunteers. He has been all over the map so far in the month of June. He's been to Stanford. He's been to South Carolina. He's been to Penn State. He was here at Tennessee. And he will visit Vanderbilt at the conclusion of this open period, which is next weekend before it shuts down again. And he said, honestly, it's like splitting hairs right now because he said this month has made it so much more difficult for he and his family to make a decision. He's a people person. He loves the Tennessee coaching staff, Glenn Ellerbe. He loves the people that they are and the direction that this team is going in. He said all that. And so he said that he's going to have quite the decision to come up with when these official visits are done. He's going to take a couple weeks and decide and then make a call before his senior football season starts. But Ryan Brubaker would be a big addition for Tennessee if Tennessee's able to get him to commit. So all of these stories I'm talking about right now up at VolQuest.com, I wrote them, videotaped some, and they're up at VolQuest.com if you want to check them out. One other one I do want to speak on real quick is Masai Reddick. So he jumped on Tennessee's radar last week whenever he camped at Tennessee State, and the Volunteers had some coaches in attendance. And that's when Tennessee initially offered him. He came back unofficially at the beginning of the weekend and then started officially his official visit later in the weekend. He left Knoxville later Wednesday, or excuse me, I'm getting my days mixed up here. He left Knoxville later Sunday evening and headed back to Detroit. But he is a big presence. He's a guy that's about 6 foot five, about 320 pounds. He is definitely a guard. But I think when you get him in a college weight room and start, defining that body, potentially he could play tackle as well. But he was very high on Tennessee. He's a three-star, a lot of potential there. But you can see that the Tennessee coaching staff really, really likes him. Very high on Tennessee. Said that he has the Volunteers high up on his radar. He is going to commit to a school at some point in the very near future. And I think Tennessee is very, very much in the running for Masai Reddick. So those are a couple of the highlights on the recruiting front for Tennessee, and that is all from this past weekend as the official recruiting open period rolls on one more weekend for Tennessee and the rest of the schools in the Southeastern Conference and around the country before the in-person recruiting period shuts down again for the bulk of the month of July. So Tennessee will have one more weekend to try to make a great impression before you're going to see a lot of these players, whether it be to Tennessee or to other schools, start committing, and this class starts to shrink a little bit. But Tennessee's already picked up one commit during this June term of recruits coming to campus and all that, and that was Dylan Sampson, a three-star running back, and I do think that there will be more. But some big players coming to the University of Tennessee to camp on Thursday and to officially visit on this weekend. I'll have that list of players for you guys later on in the week, and we'll keep you up to date on the recruiting front for the Tennessee Volunteers. That'll do it here for a Monday show. Appreciate Ben McKee, VolQuest.com, for checking in, giving us his thoughts on Tennessee falling to Virginia in Game 1 of the College World Series. We will come back, hopefully be talking about a Tennessee victory on Wednesday's episode of Locked On Vols. Now we're done with Locked On Vols. Let's check out the Locked On Today podcast. All the sports news you need in 20 minutes, you can get it on the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help from our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, I was away for a week. I'm really glad to be back, be hitting the ground running, talking Tennessee football, Tennessee recruiting, and of course, Tennessee baseball. Thanks to you guys for hanging out with me. Be sure to DM me at _Caner if you want to chat, ask me a question. If you want any content solidified here on this show, holler at me at LockedOnVols and at _Caner. Guys, I appreciate you. We will talk again Wednesday. Until then, have a great rest of your Monday, everybody.